to all the muses in my life. Julio, the muse of limitless devotion and belief. Claire, the muse of kindness and strength. Lucas, the muse of passion and laughter. To all women who show up so their children see the strength in struggle, even when they doubt themselves, you are the muse of bravery and love. Introduction. It's too late for me. Save her. Many women who suffer from eating body image disorders feel they are beyond the point of overcoming them. They suffer in silence as they work, take care of the home, raise their children. They don't realize they are passing on the same food and diet beliefs and concerns to their daughters until suddenly the daughter is now a teenager with her own disorder. That's where I come in. As a registered dietitian, certified in intuitive eating, I use my expertise to guide people in overcoming their disordered eating and body image issues. Not just teens, but also their mothers, because it's never too late to get started. You can absolutely have a healthy relationship with food and provide a healthy environment for your family. This book will show you how. A need for balance. I've always wanted to work with women who struggle with eating disorders since I was in high school. My best friend battled anorexia, and I struggled with my inability to help her. I shied away, and our friendship ended. When I went off to college, I discovered that one of my freshman year roommates was bulimic. I continued to find myself surrounded by women with eating disorders, and something in my heart told me to get a degree in nutrition so that I could better serve them. During college, I realized my major didn't quite cover the areas on which I wanted to focus. My coursework centered more on food service and food science rather than psychology and eating disorders. In fact, I would estimate that approximately 50% of the dietitians in my program had issues with food, and soon I fell into the same trap. I became obsessed with food and counting calories. I thought, I'm a dietitian and I need to eat perfectly to be a poster child for healthy nutrition. In reality, I was miserable and had low energy. Thoughts of food consumed my mind, and I realized there had to be a balance. When I graduated from college, I found it difficult to land an internship or job working with women who struggled with eating disorders. I spent 3 years gaining experience in pediatrics, food allergies, and weight management at the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey and Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. My husband was offered a job across the country, and we were preparing to move when I learned about a position running a nutrition program at the Rimfrew Center, a residential eating disorder clinic in northern New Jersey. I had no directly relevant experience, but I knew I needed the job. I walked into the clinic and told them I was meant for the position and would do whatever it took to succeed in it. They hired me, and my family canceled the move. I worked with women of all ages, but spent most of my time with teenagers, teaching them how to manage their disorders. They would successfully leave the program, but often encountered problems when they returned home. I had taught them to be balanced and relaxed around food, and to not use food as an outlet for their emotions, but some of their mothers' practices around eating often made this difficult. In many cases, their mothers suffered from their own disorders. They would eat different meals from the rest of the families or eat at different times than they did. The mother would weigh herself daily after I told the daughter to remove any scales from the home. I truly felt sad knowing these mothers were obsessing about food and their weight when in fact I knew they could turn it around, feel calm around food, and feel more confident in themselves and own their worth. I saw it in time and time again. Women who had struggled with food issues for 30 years and felt they had no chance of overcoming them. I knew I was meant to serve these women. As much as I loved working with teens, my focus moved to helping their mothers. I wanted to give these women confidence and joy and show them that in 8 to 12 weeks, they could have a personal shift and also a shift in the home. They could teach their children that they could overcome something they'd long struggled with. You can too. This book is the perfect place to start that journey. Peace Within and Peace in the Home. I've separated the book into two sections, Peace Within and Peace in the Home. Peace Within is dedicated to you. It is designed to help you explore your relationship with food and your body, as well as work on your feelings of self-worth. Do you deprive yourself of food that you love? Are you obsessed with the diet culture? Do you appreciate your body? Do you feel you need to look a certain way or be a certain weight in order to be happy? Do you feel worthy? And do your actions align with that sentiment? These are just a few of the questions we will address and work through in the first section of the book. Peace in the Home deals with creating a positive home environment, having proactive conversations, and establishing healthy mindsets. You will assess your family values and learn how to bring that to the dinner table. I will walk you through how to envision mealtime and how to keep food neutral, a concept that doesn't define food as good or bad, but instead asks that you notice your body and how you are feeling when eating. To truly find peace within and in the home, you must first understand what healthy eating and body image look like. Living your healthiest life. I have a manifesto for women that showcases how I define mental and physical health. We believe fear tactics don't sway us to follow a certain diet. We deserve to feel satisfied with our food and life. Personal happiness is essential. To be selfless, you need to meet your needs first. In giving everything to things that bring us joy, there's no room for apologies in cutting out things that drain energy. In living for the present moment without guilt of the past or worry of the future, fear should not paralyze. We use fear as a guide to help navigate life. We strive to look in the mirror without shame. We have quieted the voices saying we are not enough. We are enough right here, right now. It is not superficial to want to lose weight, but self-love in the present is crucial to acceptance. The perfect diet is eating what looks good, tastes good, and feels good. We follow our own path for health with confidence. We accept that what works for one does not work for all. We embrace imperfections and highlight strength. We are free. The light inside of us shines bright. I share this manifesto and use it as motivation with all of my clients. We continue to reflect on it as we work through their food and body image disorders. One of the first things I teach is that there are many different ways to eat healthy. You may meet someone who follows a paleo, vegan, keto, vegetarian, or clean eating diet. If they choose this diet because it aligns with their ethical and moral values and makes their body feel amazing, chances are it is easy for them to implement and they've remained excited about following it. If they follow a diet because they hate their body, want to lose weight, or were told by someone to give it a try, chances are they were not as excited about implementing the diet and are less likely to achieve their goals. I don't subscribe to any particular diet plan. I don't believe there is a perfect way to eat, and there's no one plan that fits every human. It's more important to look at the why of food choices. Do they fit with your lifestyle and morals? Does the food provide you with energy and mental clarity? Does it taste good and leave you feeling satiated? Any given diet plan may not work until you can actually get healthy with food and choose the plan from a proper frame of reference. This requires figuring out what matters to you first, so you're not swayed by anyone else's input or diet suggestions. Diets aren't always healthy. I've seen several cases where health and dietary choices don't always coincide. Right out of college, I served as an intern at New York Presbyterian Hospital. One of my rotations was in the cancer unit, and I remember my excitement one day as I prepared to meet with a new patient to discuss antioxidants and how food can help her fight cancer. I dressed in my cap and mask, and as soon as I stepped inside her room, she told me to get out. I told her my name and that I was her dietitian, but she did not care. She said, I did everything they told me. I ate at local farms. I ate organic. I didn't eat any meat. I did all of this, and I still got cancer. Get out of my room. This honestly changed my life because I realized so many people have beliefs surrounding their nutrition and health that aren't necessarily true. It's unfair to think a particular diet or way of eating will keep you cancer-free. Rather, it's best to learn what works for you individually and focus on health in general. A recent client learned at a routine exam that her blood pressure was too high. She was scared, legitimately scared. She didn't like how her blood pressure made her feel. She didn't want to be on medication her whole life, and she was nervous about her future. Her doctor suggested that she lose weight, but I suggested otherwise. The goal was to lower her blood pressure, not the number on the scale. She could make broader changes to her diet and activity level to lower the blood pressure, and she would most likely see other health benefits as well, like losing weight. Even if her weight stayed the same, if those numbers improved, she would not feel like a failure. Food certainly matters and can serve as medicine, but it doesn't necessarily cure everything. Neither does the number on the scale. The emotional impacts of dieting. As I mentioned above, if you do whatever it takes to lose weight, that loss will not be sustainable. It may feel great at first. Friends may tell you that you look amazing. Meanwhile, you'll feel exhausted and hungry because you allowed yourself only an apple and a protein bar that day. The focus becomes about how you can control yourself to manipulate your body, and everything else falls to the wayside. The nutrition density of the food, your energy levels, your enjoyment of the food, and even your willpower. You will suddenly find yourself at the grocery store purchasing ice cream only to start a cycle of guilt for having binged. Weight cycling, having your weight go up and down, has more health risks associated with it than maintaining a level of weight your doctor may consider too high. My goal is to have you feel desensitized to food so that the next time you walk down the ice cream aisle, you say to yourself, I'm good. Your weight can only regulate once you get on the path to health. You need to let go of the number on the scale and make changes to your eating habits that positively impact your energy levels and overall physical and emotional well-being. Embracing what you have. A variety of experts have provided evidence that your body has a set point weight. Based on biological conditions, this is a stable body weight that your body maintains with little effort. You have energy and focus, are able to be active during the day, and can still eat food that tastes good in moderation. Your body will fight to stay at this set point weight, even if you head to the gym every day. Reaching a different desired physique will require a maintenance plan to lose or gain weight. If you don't enjoy investing that time, your body will most likely settle back to the set point. Beyond the set point weight, we all have different body shapes and types. No matter your weight, that shape is not going to change. If you are pear-shaped, you're going to be pear-shaped even if you lose 50 pounds. Your legs and butt will still be larger than your bust. It's time to accept your shape. If you have curves, wear a wrap dress and heels. If you have a smaller chest, throw on a pair of skinny jeans and a tube top. If you are pear-shaped, try an empire waist flowing skirt. Instead of focusing on what you can't wear, focus on what you can wear. If you're not sure what looks best, consider hiring someone to assist you. Several years ago, I sent my measurements, hair and skin color, and photos of myself to a stylist. She put together a Pinterest board of clothing styles that she called Classic Chic. My confidence grew and my stress lessened because now I knew exactly how to shop. I didn't get sidetracked by cute bohemian shirts that looked amazing but would never suit my personality or body type. Instead, I looked for pencil skirts, jackets, and V-neck tops my stylist recommended. There is a style that looks amazing on you that someone who is a different shape couldn't pull off. Feeling good about yourself means accepting your weight and body shape, but it also requires a shift in how you perceive others. Women of all body types envy one another for various reasons. I've sat in a room with women who range in size from a 00 to 16, and the size 00 has said to the size 16, "I wish I could share my emotions with you. I'm so scared of everything, and I let everybody overpower me. I feel like I have no voice, and you speak your mind so freely." And then the woman who's a size 16 would respond, "I wish I had your control. I feel like I put myself out there so much and I get judged and feel hurt. I feel things so deeply that it's painful and it makes me want to eat." These women both have amazing traits that others envy. It's time to embrace what you have and let that shine. When it comes to a healthy body image, we need to start asking different questions. Instead of thinking, "How am I going to lose the weight?" it's time to think, "How can I have more energy? How can I better take care of myself? How can I love myself more? How can I feel more relaxed around food?" This book is meant to be a framework for you to create positive experiences, establish a healthy relationship with food, and trust that you're making the right decisions because they will now align with your personal, family, and spiritual values. You will identify your values and your vision in Chapter 1. These will create a solid base for any future decisions surrounding food and exercise. You will be able to have honest conversations about food and body image, and goals will no longer be tied to the number on a scale. I created this book to inspire conversations among women suffering from eating and body image disorders, and to normalize discussions on this topic. You're not alone. So many people struggle with feelings of shame, guilt, and fear. They feel isolated and unsupported. Reaching out to others is a demonstration of strength. Disordered eating shouldn't cause someone to feel uncomfortable. We can work through the disorder and get to the other side. We don't have to pass our eating disorders on to the next generation. These chapters incorporate worksheets to help you put to use the concepts you'll learn. Remember, this book is split into two parts, one devoted to the work within and one devoted to the work with your family. But no matter what kind of work you're doing, it's always critical to trust what speaks to you. If a concept doesn't resonate with you, move on to the next chapter. While I've ordered the chapters of each part of this book in a way I believe will be most helpful, I encourage you to trust that you're going to read what you need to read at the right time. Just as there is flexibility in how you view this material, also know there is flexibility with yourself in how you view food and health. People change. Who you are today is not who you're going to be in 10 years, and the worksheets may yield different results if you revisit them in the future. The fundamental concepts will still be relevant. All you need to do is give yourself that grace to be able to shift as you change. Let's get started.